Okay, tonight we're starting a study through the 12, and this is something I think you'll find interesting. We're not going to do a verse-by-verse study through all of them, obviously. This is the last 12 books of the Old Testament, and that would take an awful lot of effort to get through it all. So what my thought is we'll do a survey through this thing. And that way, a lot of you who have no clue what's in any of these 12 books might be able to go, oh, okay, I do recognize that. And then you'll maybe make the connection between the two. My intention is probably we'll go at least up through the summer. We might even go a little bit farther than that, depending on how in-depth we might get into a couple of the books. First of all, I warned some of you, see if you were going to do it. Can you do the 12 books of the minor prophets in order from memory? Anybody? Now, the reason we do this with kids, also with adults, it predates electronics. Nowadays, you just go and you find the book, right? And even the chapter and even the verse by using your app. Used to be, you'd have to go to Hosea, and you'd have to find Hosea. Of course, you could use your handy-dandy table of contents at the front and go, okay, Hosea's on book, or it's on page 1,222 or something like that. You can almost go through all of the Bible books in order. See, at camp, that'd get you a lot of points for your team. Because that's what we do. We reward the kids. That's very good. One of the easiest ways to do it is do it in groups of three. Because, you know, or in groups of 12, because there's 12 books. And if you do it in groups of four, then you get three groups, right? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Okay? I had to refresh that because I hate that section trying to do it in order. I had to go back and refresh it today to make sure I could do it tonight. I would encourage you to go ahead and work on that and see if you can do it. Now, the other thing that we need to take in consideration like this is the organization of the Bible anyway. Because was the Bible written in English?
No.
Obviously not, right? Okay, the Bible was actually written over about 1,500 years total, because it's not actually like a chapter book written by a novelist or even a historian. It is a library of a whole bunch of different books that the Holy Spirit had decided would be significant to keep in long-term use. So it covers an awful lot of period of time. And they're not all the same types of books. Let's test your memory, some of you. What are the first five books of the Old Testament? And what's actually the category? Do you know? First five books of the Old Testament are usually referred to as the five books of the books of the law, or the five books of a guy that was involved in the writing of them, Moses, right? And so that'd be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? So those are foundational books in the Old Testament. The next books are going to depend on your organizational skills. Nowadays, we talk about books of history, and we'll tick off all the books of history in the Old Testament. The Jewish people referred to the next bunch of books as the books of the prophets. And then they had at the tail end another section which they referred to as the books of wisdom. Now we also have in our English Bibles when we divide them up, we have a section that's called the wisdom literature or the poetry literature. How many books do we put in that one? Do you know? It's five again. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and we also put Job in there. The Jewish people didn't put Job in the wisdom literature. They felt that Job was one of the big prophets, so he went into the prophet section. Then one more thing, though. These 12 books that we're going to be talking about over the next several months, they were only in one Jewish book. So if you were doing books in order, you would do 12 books of prophecy, such as you'd talk about the Kings and the Samuels, and you'd talk about Isaiah and Jeremiah. But you'd eventually get to the one where you'd say, and the 12. So all of those names that I rattled off a little while ago, you wouldn't have to memorize those because they're all in one book. And so that's what is going to be what we're going to kind of unpack over the next few months. Now, I made a handout for you. Where is it? There it is. That I want you to be able to see. And would you make sure those get handed out? That'd be helpful. The purpose of this handout is for you to kind of get a sense of the history, where these books fit. Because, as I said, they were not written all at the exact same time. These books that we're going to be talking about were actually written over a period of about 350 years. That's a big gap. That's longer than the United States has been a country. Almost back to the beginning of its existence, even known to the Europeans. So it's a pretty big deal. So on this list, I forgot to keep one for myself. So, yes, got one more at least? Hey, I made just about enough. Over on the left-hand side, you will see the centuries. And I've broken them up into early, mid, late, and then the break between centuries, which would be the 00 number. So in the early 1900s BC, because remember, BC goes backwards, because it's counting down to the time of Jesus. So in the early 900s BC, that's when Solomon built the temple. Now that's important, because the temple was a major component of the Jewish faith. Jewish religion, exceptionally important. In the mid-900s, because of sin, because of problems, the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, broke up into two competing regions. The one to the north, which had the majority of the people in it, was known as Northern Israel. The one down to the south, which actually had the temple in it, was called Southern Judah. And that happened not too long after the temple was built. And that is when trouble starts entering in for the Jewish people. Because the groups, particularly up in the north, started teaching all sorts of weird things, twisting things. And so you start seeing now the rise of prophets from God. Maybe you recognize the names Elisha and Elijah, right? If you look over on the right-hand side, you'll see that those guys popped into the story right around in the 800s. By the way, the reason they kind of show up at that time is because of somebody named Ahab and his girlfriend, wife, queen named Jezebel. They were in the northern kingdom of Israel, and they basically wanted to completely replace the faith of God, as twisted as it was up there, with the worship of other gods and goddesses. And so that's why Elijah and Elisha and these guys start doing their ministry up there, is because those guys needed to be warned that this was a bad idea. Now, up to that point, though, no prophets were writing things down. You won't find any books like First Elijah or Second Elisha. They didn't write those things down. They did write the history books as we know them, one prophet after another. So 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, they were involved in those things. But they were not straight up, God wants you to hear this. Here it is. That sort of prophecy. It wasn't until the 700s that you start having these dedicated prophets to come on the scene and start telling people, okay, God has a message specifically for you. Listen up. And they get written down and passed down to the Jewish people on a regular basis. And so now you can kind of see that the 12 is actually the beginning of the writings of the prophetic books. First guy, The 12 are not in any type of chronological order. In fact, we're not sure why they're in the order they're in. You know, some groups structure their prophetic literature or their religious literature in longest books to shortest books, or vice versa, shortest books to longest books. We have no clue why the early Jewish people put them in the order that we can memorize now with the Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and on and on. Don't know. I'm going to go in the order that they were actually written. And so that's why Jonah is going to be our first book, the first prophet we'll talk about next week. Now, what do you know about Jonah, just right off the top of your head? Yeah, he got swallowed by a big sea critter. Why? Do you remember why? Because when God gave him a job to do it, he says, nah, I'd rather not do that. So, you know, that was God spanking on him, or his little timeout. There's bigger things than that in the book of Jonah, and we'll talk about those next week. But you'll notice, if you'll focus in on here, Jonah is the only prophetic book that was written down that was directed to northern Israel, because they were very much a lost cause. Now, some of these other prophets talked about what's going on up in northern Israel, but active prophets up there, Elijah was up there, Elisha was up there, Jonah was up there, and then eventually up there is lost totally. In fact, by the time that 722 comes around, 722 BC, the northern kingdom was no more. God had given them enough time to basically repent, and if they wouldn't, they were done. And so when 722 came around, they were done. And so that's why pretty much all these other prophets are focused southern Judah. Amos, you will find interesting when we get to him, because he was actually a migrant worker. He was a shepherd, and he was also a fig picker. So he took care of sheep during sheep time, and when fig picking time came around, he'd travel around and pick figs, and he probably did other fruits as well. Hosea will be an interesting book when we get to it, because he basically is told by God to marry a woman from his high school, I'm using our term here, that was wild, knowing that she would cheat on him. And so there's a reason for that. We'll get to that. We got Micah in here. Do you know where Micah most of the time gets mentioned for us as Christians? Nativity time, because Micah is the one that mentions Bethlehem being the place where the Messiah is going to be born. Nahum, what do you know about Nahum? Everybody say, nothing. Right? Nothing comes to mind, does it? And we'll talk about that. Zephaniah, big funny long name. We're not going to know an awful lot about that one either until we get there and look at it. Joel. Anybody have anything come to their head first off about Joel? It's, what's that? About a king? No. It's quoted in Acts chapter number 2 at Pentecost about the day of the Lord and how everything was going to happen special before the day of the Lord came. And it prophesies the whole thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. Again, ready for your pat answer? What do you know about Habakkuk? The answer is nothing, right? There is some things in it, though, of interest to us. Obadiah, again, not much we know. But you'll see here that there's some gaps in time here between these books. You got Jonah and Amos are pretty tight, right? You got Hosea and Micah, they're pretty tight together. Then we got a gap. And then Nahum and Zephaniah are kind of close. Joel, Habakkuk, Obadiah, boom, boom, boom. They're all together right around the same time period. And off to the right, I've given you some of the big names. You see Isaiah out there. He's not too far from Hosea and Micah. And then Joel and Habakkuk and Obadiah, they're there with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. What was the big event that was happening right around that time that we've got so much prophecy happening? Well, look over at the early 500s. The first temple ends up being destroyed. That was a huge shift for the Jewish people to have the temple destroyed. And they also went for their own time out. They had to leave their country, except for the very poorest of them, and go and live in another country for a couple of generations. And so that's why we've got these prophets explode during this time period, because God was basically saying, knock it off or you will get a timeout. Knock it off or I will take the temple. Stop the sinning or there will be consequences. And nobody listened. And so we end up with the consequences. The next big event that you'll see is that the Jews were able to return. And I put those in quote for a reason. The Israelis have a name change while they're in exile, while they're living out of their land. Instead of being called Israelis, they are now called Jews, which is referencing back to the country of Judah. And so when they are given permission to return to Judah, they go back as Jews, people who live in Judah. But they're not just Judah tribe. There's all the other Israelis are involved as well. And they return. Some of them have never lived there. They were born in other countries. So it's actually a returning in the idea of their heritage. And when they come back, the first order of business is they're supposed to get their religion going again. And what's the most important building for the religion of the Jews? The temple. And so the temple's been destroyed, and that means the temple needs to be rebuilt. Now they get the government permission, and they've got resources for the most part, but they don't get it done right away. They kind of drag their feet. And so after about 20 years, 15 or 20 years, God sends these next two prophets in the 12, a guy by the name of Haggai and a guy by the name of Zechariah. And those two guys, in a matter of months, pump them up to get the temple rebuilt. And it gets done, and things start moving forward again like it's supposed to. Then the last guy on the list, Malachi. Anything you know about Malachi right off the top of your head? What's that? That's Mordecai. Nice try to connection, though. Very good, though. Very close. I never thought about how close those names are. Malachi, you may have heard some people do offering meditations out of. Because Malachi is the one that says, test me to see whether or not if you give, I don't open up the windows of heaven. That's in the book of Malachi. But one of the other passages in the book of Malachi is all about the day of the Lord coming. Now, the day of the Lord is an interesting thing. The day of the Lord is God's ultimate judgment that's going to sort out the good people, meaning those that want to do things His way, from the bad people, the ones that don't want to do anything God's way ever. And so Malachi is kind of the last prophet coming at a time, weirdly enough, these people that came back and rebuilt the temple underneath Haggai and Zechariah, within 100 years, a little less than 100 years, they started getting off track again. They started breaking the rules. In fact, you're going to have a hard time believing this, but after Nehemiah, who was a good leader, got things kind of squared away again in his book, he goes away for a while. He comes back, and he finds out that there's a non-Jew that's been given an apartment in the storage rooms right up against the temple building. Now, non-Jews were not supposed to be anywhere near that temple building, let alone an unbeliever living in the temple building. And you can kind of picture Nehemiah. He actually went in there and started throwing all the junk out of there and said, get this stuff out of here. He evicted him and threw his junk out outside the temple complex. Malachi kind of comes in around that same time and basically says, what's the deal? Why won't you treat me with the respect that I am due as God? I mean, think about it. You guys would never, ever give a junk animal to your governor when he's expecting it as a piece of tax. But you're giving me junk animals, and I'm God. And so the last book of the Old Testament is basically God speaking through Malachi saying, why won't you pay me the respect I'm due? And of course, the answer is because they don't respect him. And that's the obvious answer. And that needs to be fixed. And that's really what the books always in the Bible are about, is learning who God is and how we should be relating to him. And sometimes he lets us know and we're not being very respectful. And so you'll see that theme as we go through these books during the next few months, and we kind of hit some of the survey points. Okay, any questions about just kind of the general viewpoint here of where the 12 kind of fit into things? It's going to be a mixture of information. It's not going to be always the same topic, because these guys will have different backgrounds, and it's over different time periods as well. But anything pop in your head right off the bat? Because otherwise, I'm going to start giving you your assignments. This is what I want you to do. Each week, I will tell you whether or not we're moving into a new book. And when we do move into a new book, guess what I want you to do? Read it. That's right. That shouldn't be all that hard. I mean, this is a class, and the idea is you should come prepared to know the study material ahead of time. Now, you may not understand it, okay? But you'll be familiar with it when you come. So next week, come having read the book of Jonah. And, you know, you can use the modern day stuff. get it on an app, a Bible app, and listen to it. I find that very useful. When I walk in the morning, I do my 5-mile walk. I'm listening to the Bible as I'm walking because it's just much more convenient that way. So do that. Get the book of Jonah underneath your belt between now and next week. And then each week, if we've gotten through what I see as the survey material, then I'll give you the next reading assignment. I will also likely do this, so get yourself ready for it. I will likely pick one, sometimes two, or more significant verses in that book that I think would be good for memory. And so I'd like for you to kind of already get yourself steeled up, ready to go, that you'll take on a memory assignment. And do like King David said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." That's Psalm 119:11. Okay? So we want to definitely get some of these Bible verses memorized. And then I'm going to make the announcement tonight that I hadn't yet let everybody know about. Some of you know that I'm finishing up Life of Christ pretty soon on Sunday mornings. It was our long-term Sunday school project. It's not finishing fast enough for me to do the next thing that I'd originally intended to do. I was going to do a Bible, basic Bible training class, and was going to invite a bunch of our people that have never been through anything like that before, and people that have kind of just kind of popped in but not really stuck around as much. I want to try to drum up some interest in basic Bible information. But I don't want to do it during the summer, because what do people do during summer on weekends? They go play somewhere else, or they take vacations and trips, and I don't want to have that disruption in the midst of basic Bible training. So we are going to postpone basic Bible training until September. So what are we going to do after Life of Christ? Well, I looked over this list of these books of the 12, and I went, you know, there's one book on there I really do think it would be beneficial for us to do verse by verse, and that would be Zechariah. Zechariah is the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. It's got a lot of wild imagery in it, some interesting little stories. It's mostly associated with the rebuilding of the temple, but it has some interesting tie-ins to the last days and to the book of Revelation itself, especially the end of chapter 11, all of 12, 13, 14. They are very intriguing. And so Sunday mornings, once we finish Life of Christ, our Sunday school class is going to delve into the book of Zechariah. So that's going to be a few more weeks, because we're not yet finished with John's stories about the resurrection. And so once we get close enough, I'll tell you to do what with the book of Zechariah? Read it. Okay, it's a big book. It's 12 chapters or 14 chapters. So I'll probably tell you to take it in small bites, which that'll be fun enough, because it has things like angel women with stork wings carrying baskets full of weird information across the sky, and we got flying rolls that are 60 feet long, and it's pretty wild. So if you take it in smaller bites, that might be more fun, okay? Any other things that you might want to ask about the assignments or about what we're going to try to accomplish here between now and, I don't know, August, September, October? Yeah, I'll have something for you for the memory verses, some way for you to be able to kind of take it with you, maybe a little card or something like that, make it easier on you whenever I give you an assignment like that. I'll also use the projector a little bit more in the following weeks, because it's just more helpful for you to kind of assimilate information visually as well as with your ear. And I think that'll make a difference. Okay? One last thing before we close up for our introduction time. I want to talk to you about inspiration again. Inspiration is the idea that God has intentionally given information to people to write down and to keep a nice, long resource availability from His words to us. And it is limited in its scope. For example, we today, as New Testament Christians, we think about the Bible being the inspired Word of God. And we think about it being Old Testament, which is all about before Jesus came, New Testament, about after Jesus came. We further break them down into their various bits and pieces. And so we know these are the books that we think of as being inspired by God. Now, where did that information come from? Well, it actually started with the Jewish people. The Jewish people believed that all the books they'd been given by the prophets were inspired. And so they treated them differently than any other literature around them. And so all the books that we have in what we call our Old Testament, that's actually the Jewish Bible, which they believed to be inspired. And it was limited to what we number as 39 books. Now, they didn't number it that way. They numbered it as 22 books. Now, how does that work? Because their books combine some of our books that we spread apart. For example, 1 and 2 Samuel, that's only one. That's together. Same thing with 1 and 2 Kings. Jeremiah and Lamentations, one book, because Lamentations was written by the same prophet, Jeremiah. And then, as we already talked about, the 12 were together in one book, because nobody knows for sure why they came together like this, other than the fact that 12 is a good number that's important to them. But they weren't as lengthy as some of these other books, like Isaiah. That's 66 chapters when we divided up. I think it was a scroll that was 20-some feet long when you rolled it out. So that's a big book. When you take the 12 books that we're talking about for our survey here, you could put them on a same-size scroll, okay? Because that's the same amount of material. So they had 22 books, and this is how they felt about it. This is a quote I'm going to read to you from a guy by the name of Josephus. He was a first century Jewish man. He was a priest, a historian, and a Pharisee, so he took the Bible very seriously. And one of the other things he was an author. So he explained to people, this is what we Jews believe. And so we use him a lot when we are teaching in our Bible times, because he's from that New Testament time period. So this is how he felt about what we call the Old Testament. We have not an innumerable multitude of books among us, disagreeing from and contradicting one another as the Greeks have, but only 22 books, which contain the records of all the past times which are justly believed to be divine. Now that's the books. He says the books are divine, meaning they are given to us by God. So that's his way of saying inspired. Of them, 5 belong to Moses, which contains his laws and the traditions of the origin of mankind till his death. So, book of Genesis, all the way up to the book of Deuteronomy, and then Moses dies. This interval of time was little short of 3,000 years. Now, that's by the Jewish estimation, from creation till the death of Moses was about 3,000 years. But as to the time from the death of Moses till the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, who reigned after Xerxes, that's actually Esther's husband that he's mentioning here. The prophets who were after Moses wrote down what was done in their time in 13 books. And then here, let me list out. This is not from him. This is from me. You got Joshua. Judges and Ruth are together. The Samuels are together. The Kings are together. The Chronicles are together. Ezra and Nehemiah are together. Esther, Isaiah, Jeremiah and Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Job, and then the 12. That's 13 books right there. The remaining four books contain hymns to God and precepts for the conduct of human life. So that would be Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And so those are the poetic books to help people learn how to live. And then he goes on to say that there's other books that the Jewish people have made since this, but these have not been esteemed of the like authority with the former by our forefathers, because there has not been an exact succession of prophets since that time. And how firmly we've been given credit to these books of our own nations is evident by what we do. For during so many ages has already passed, no one has ever been so bold either to add anything to them, to take anything from them, to make any change in them, and it becomes natural to all Jews immediately from their very birth to esteem those books to contain divine doctrines and to persist in them, and if occasion be, willingly to die for them. So basically, Josephus says no one has ever tried to add any additional information to these books or to take information out of these books. They have even been willing to die for what's in these books than to give them up, because they are inspired. And so that's the attitude that I want us as Christians to have toward all of God's Word. But I want you to also keep that in mind as our attitude toward the 12 books that we're going to be surveying and appreciate what's in them, okay? All right, last chance for any questions between now and next week. All right, what's the assignment for next week?
Read Jonah.
Read Jonah. Is that going to be a long assignment? No, Jonah's a little book, okay? It's an easy book. And if you listen to it, I think it takes 12 minutes or something like that to listen to it. It's not very long at all. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to shut down the live stream, and then you guys can kind of fellowship with each other and say hi to our visitors that are only here until tomorrow, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time we got together, and I thank you for your inspired Word of God, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have our eyes opened up to the information that's in these 12 books that so many people pass over as being minor, when in fact they aren't. Help us to have a great rest of this week and a fantastic Lord's Day when it comes around. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.